Welcome, everybody, to the Health Show That Knows Health Talk Radio, brought to you by the Alaska Center for Natural Medicine, only on KFAR 660 AM, broadcasting to Fairbanks and beyond. So sit back, relax, and prevent a heart attack. Here's your host, Dr. Scott Looper, your guide to better health.
Good afternoon, Fairbanks, and welcome to Health Talk. My name is Dr. Scott Looper, and I'm your host today as we talk about health, how to get it, and how to keep it. Our guest today is Sean Whitmar. Sean is an orthopedic manual therapist who works with us at the Alaska Center for Natural Medicine. And today, Sean and I are talking about medical research. It's been a while since we've actually gone into medical research. We've been talking about all different kinds of things, but I like it. I like it because it helps us, keeps us abreast of what new things are coming up. It creates a discipline for us to get into, you know, what the researchers are coming up with lately. And it turns out they're coming up with really cool, interesting things. So, Sean, why don't you start us off? What you got?
Well, first off, Doc, let me say thanks for having me back. Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure. So, you know, because I'm an orthopedic manual therapist, Doc, I really like to focus my research on what it is I do, right? So everything that I brought in today to talk about is definitely myoskeletal related. It's all having to do with the muscle system and how it works, or doesn't, for that matter. So I want to start off talking about, there's a young man named, he was a neurologist named Vladimir Yonda, and his research was actually done in the 50s, but all the studies that I brought today are from 2013 and present. These are all peer-reviewed studies, so they're composites. Essentially what it is it's a systematic composite of a comprehensive review by other peers that are doing the same thing.
Good. This turns out to be some of the more powerful research we have, meta-analysis. They look at more people. They can see the trends and patterns going on. I look at this kind of stuff all the time.
Yeah. It's good stuff. So in the 50s, Yonda, he basically came out and...
In the 50s?
In the 50s,
no
right?
Kidding? We're looking at research from the 50s?
Yeah. So basically what he said was he kind of figured out myoskeletal pains, and he recognized that through tension, specific tension muscles, almost everybody kind of shows the same kind of chronic patterns. Well, let me rephrase that. Everybody that is... non-active and everybody that is the common office worker tend to show these commonalities and pattern. And it all comes down to musculoskeletal tension and how it pushes out. The one thing that I really liked that he put out was that
people are getting back pain.
Yeah.
And neck pain.
So the five common, right? So you got knee pain, back pain, headaches, shoulder pain, and what they call is multi-site pain. So that's kind of everything else, right? Okay. In the studies that they did, they actually realized that there wasn't anybody that had a specific injury. There wasn't anybody that had just knee pain. There wasn't anybody that had just shoulder pain. There was always the primary functionality issue plus a secondary, the kind of underlying chronic pain that they're dealing with. And speaking of chronic, we've got to first establish that chronic is anything more than 3 to 6 months. But in these studies, it actually shows from a primary care perspective, it's more than 6 to 12 months without any improvements, right? Okay. So, when Yonda put all these together.
Let me comment on this one. So, if somebody listening has had a pain for more than 3 months, it's not getting better. I mean, honestly, you should go in and figure out why it's hanging out so long. I know, I speak from my own personal experience. Last summer, I ended up doing this running thing and ended up getting a pain in my calf. And 5 months later, I mean, I work with you, dude.
Right, I know, right.
5 months later, I'm dragging my leg across the living room, through the living room, and my wife says, "You have people who work for you."
Yeah. Yeah, you should, physician, heal thyself, sir.
Well, anyways, I went in to go see Sean, and you assessed me like so quick and so easy, and the interesting thing you told me, you said, "Dude, it's not your calf." What do you mean it's not my calf? That's where the pain is. No, it's over here in front of your calf. It's near your shin. You put your finger in one spot and about brought me to my knees.
Right.
I couldn't believe it even hurt. You pointed to a spot, literally touched it, that hurt worse than anything else. You said, "Dude, this is your problem."
Right.
So it's like that. It's interesting that these patterns come up that I had a compensation going. You know, the ankle bone's connected to the knee bone kind of thing is what it was.
Exactly.
And I had this compensation based on what the injury that I got before, freaking 5 months before. And it was, to me, it was my way of looking at things. It seemed amazing. It was like, Magic, right?
Well, thanks, Doc. I appreciate that. Yeah. You know, and honestly, you talking about that, that was the thing that Yonda found out was that Yonda formed, him and a couple of other neurologists formed what's called the Prague Institute for Rehabilitation. And essentially, if we boil everything down to it, these four neurologists got together and they realized two things. One, everything is related to the central nervous system and how your brain does it, right? So it doesn't matter. You can go in and you can take all the opiates you want. You can put all the assisted walking devices that you want, the heel lifts. You can do the arch lifts. You can do a cane, whatever it is. You can do the corticosteroid shots. And these are still, they're all just short-term effect stuff. So until you teach the brain to find a new pattern to move, then your chronic tension is going to be there, and that chronic pain is not going to go away.
How do you do that?
So there's a couple of different ways. So Yonda came out, and he actually, once we recognize these patterns, so there's some fairly succinct systematic tests that we can do in order to show functionality. Basically, there's seven of them. Takes about 5 minutes to kind of figure them out, right? And then, well, once you learn them, it takes about 5 minutes to use them to apply them to somebody. And if you don't have that functionality set, then nothing else is going to happen, right? So kind of like you're describing when you came in with the calf pain, and I was looking at your calf, and I'm thinking about it, and I'm going through it, and I'm feeling for the textures of everything, and it didn't feel bad, right? Everything felt kind of homogenous, if you will, right? In that I didn't feel anything really standing out at me. But what I did feel was functionality that was further down the chain, a little more into your foundation, that was causing pain next level up. And that's a lot of what these guys found. So what we have to do is we have to...
For you listeners, realize it was actually my foot that was causing the problem.
Yep.
And what you told me, I don't know if you remember, but it's been a long time since you did this. What you told me was, I had the wrong shoes on. You said, mm-hmm. Dude, your shoes aren't right. You got to get a shoe that drops your heel. It drops you down. It's going to change the way you walk. It's going to change everything. I did what you said. By the way, this was one treatment, and I was better. 5 months I was suffering one treatment, yep. And the pain went away, never to be seen again,
awesome.
Except I went against your advice. You told me, switch your shoes that have a heel that's lower than the toe, which I actually had a pair. So I wore those every day, never had a problem, except for when I went traveling, I got the slip-ons with the heel that was built. And I thought, oh, come on, I'm only traveling for a week. It's how am I just going to hurt me? I'm only going to be for a week. I mean, these are shoes. They're not like weird that you buy them at the store. I put them on 5 days into the trip. I was back to crippling pain. 5 days?
Yep.
I thought, how stupid am I? I mean, and then forget it. I got home, I pitched the shoes, I threw them away.
That's it, man. And that's actually the pull to it, right? So you were asking how it is that we fix these issues. That's the thing, is that it doesn't matter. So if you Yonda's research came down to saying that our body develops compensation patterns based off the force that we put into it, right? So whatever we subject it to, it's going to solidify itself, make it stronger, so that you can do that job better,
yeah.
Right? The same is applicable from the opposite side. So if you want to stand better, you want to walk without pain, then we have to teach you how to walk without pain, right? And we relax the muscle tissues, we relax the myoskeletal tissues. That's getting everything into a natural balance set.
Oh, that's funny you use the word relax. It wasn't relaxing when you poked
on
me.
Not a bit, not a bit. So, and then after we get everything.
It did break the spasm, though. Bottom line, it did. What you did worked.
It's like pushing Velcro apart from the inside, boss. So, I mean, it definitely doesn't tickle, but it's very effective. You know? And the thing about it is that once we get everything into a relaxed state, then we got to go through and we got to re-strengthen the neural synapses or program a new neural synapses to say, this is how I want to move from here. And then your brain takes it over, and then through repetition of pattern and ding, 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 exercise, 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 everything goes better.
Yeah, except for me, it wasn't that hard, because what you told me was, you need to walk up and down the hall, which I did. I was good. That was it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you get new shoes, right?
It's simple functionality sets, right? So, I mean, most everything that we do the things that we do on a commonality are the reasons why we have common pain. And it's that simple, right? So we've got to change our habits. We've got to change the way we're looking at things.
Well, I want to give this guy, this Norwegian dude, credit for having paid attention to see what the patterns are.
That's it.
And then be able to organize them in such a way that he could train folks like you to, again, be able to recognize the patterns. So when regular people, I mean, I'm not necessarily a regular guy because I'm a doctor, but this way, I'm a regular guy
right.
who come in with the pain. I don't know, it seemed to be my calf was the part that was hurting, right? And then you could recognize what that pattern is, poke me a little bit, intervene in a way that busts that pattern up, un-Velcros me and then gives me something to do to reinforce that,
yes,
which
sir.
In that case was simple. All I had to do was walk.
Right.
I didn't have to do any special weird yoga or something. I just had to walk, make sure my heel was in the correct position, my toes were in the correct position, and I was good to go. Seriously. And then, and as soon as I got back from the trip, I pitched the shoes, got these other shoes back on again, and I have literally have not had the pain since then.
Yep.
It completely went away.
That's awesome.
It was amazing. I was honestly, I was crippled. I was limping. Everybody who I was visiting family. They said, "What's wrong with your leg?" I brought the wrong shoes on the trip. Hey, John, let's go ahead and take a break right now. When
yes,
we
sir.
Come back, I'll take a turn with some research.
Yes, sir.
Don't you dare touch that dial. More Health Talk will be back in a moment. Do you get headaches? Do you have pain? Well, look no further than licensed acupuncturist Matt Priebe. Matt is new to the Alaska Center for Natural Medicine and looking to fill up his schedule, but that won't be for long because Matt Priebe is the real deal. So call the Alaska Center for Natural Medicine at 907-452-3600 and schedule your appointment today. Welcome back to the conversation here on Health Talk Radio, presented by the Alaska Center for Natural Medicine. Here's your host, Dr. Scott Looper.
Welcome back to Health Talk. I'm here with Sean Whitmarsh. We're talking about some medical research. So, Sean, I have one here that I'm kind of, I don't know, nosing into your territory.
Yeah. Let's play, Doc. Let's play.
I'm sure you'll have a lot more to say about it than I will. But one of the things that I'm interested in is how to live well and live long, how to be healthy and live long for a long time.
Yes,
it's
sir.
One of the things that I really is near and dear to my heart. I'm in my mid-50s, and I'm, you know, it's at that time where you start really thinking about, you know, how can I last
longevity,
longer?
Longevity, yes, longevity.
Anyways, one of the things that I know is if I sit around, then my health will decline. And we know this based on research.
Yes, sir.
And it's interesting, the folks who are doing most of this research are doing the more interesting research and doing it the first is the folks from Australia. And there's not only they figured this out, the sitting thing, that sitting was worse for you than not exercising, really. I mean, most think it's the same thing, but no, literally sitting. And people who have sitting jobs who spend
all day long
more than 6 hours a day sitting are at much increased risk of heart disease, of a wide variety of chronic illnesses.
Mm-hmm.
So the research is what they did is they looked at about 150,000 people who were 45 years and older, and they looked at what the patterns of how much they stood as opposed to how much they sat. And the reason why they did this is because often now people are having standing desks, and they're trying to counteract that the problem of sitting with people being at a standing desk. And they wanted to see what the health impact on a standing desk is in comparison to a sitting desk. And oddly enough, what they discovered was not much. That standing helped a little, but not
little
really
bit.
Significant. It really wasn't a very significant improvement
right.
at all. In fact, what they looked at, they eventually figured out what really did make a difference. In people who sit 6 hours a day or more as part of work and leisure, which is easy to do. You do some screen time. You got a couple hours on top of whatever you're doing at work, right?
Yes, sir.
Then those people, if they exercise 300 minutes a week.
300 minutes, Doc?
Then 300 minutes. Then the negative effect to their health evaporates. It goes away.
So let's break this down for layman's, Doc. 300 minutes comes down to what? About
basically an hour a day, right?
Yeah,
an hour a day. An hour a day. And it wasn't casual strolling. This was people actually doing exercise.
Right.
You know, running, fast walking, sports. You know, actually going out and breaking a sweat, breathing hard, breaking a sweat, and feeling it. That's what it took to counteract the effect of sitting 6 hours more a day. Now, I say this fully cognizant of the fact that I am a sitter.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And, you know, I sit on a ball as opposed to sitting on a chair with the belief that this will help me be more fit. And I'm looking at this thinking,
You know, Doc, so yes, we're going to play into my territory on this one. So I'm going to say this is the two caveats that I want to throw in here. So sitting is by far the worst, right? So if you think about it, it's like compared to addictions, right? So sitting is like heroin, and sitting on a ball is like cocaine. Right? So, I mean, it's definitely worse, right? It's a little bit better. It's a little bit better, right? So, and standing, right? It's incremental, but like you're saying, I mean, the ultimate end goal is that you have to put out more than you're putting in, right?
So yeah, here's the dealio. It turns out to be about circulation.
There it is.
That's it. That's it. That's the thing. So whatever you do that gets rid of circulation and makes it stagnant, you suffer from. We need oxygen. We need nutrition. We need waste product removal. We need all the stuff that happens when you move. Now, if you don't move, it just doesn't go, whether mm-hmm. you're sitting or standing or squatting on a ball or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, it's incremental. It does count. It really does count. But it's the lack of motion that really is the problem.
Yes, sir.
So one of the things I do to try to counteract that is I do, in fact, get up. I get up. I don't sit for any more longer than an hour at a time. I get up. I walk around. I go greet my patients. I don't send emails around the office. I get up and go talk to people in person. And I do that as a way to get my circulation moving at least a little bit. I jiggle. And then the fact is, too, I get up and exercise. I exercise every day, pretty much. But, you know, I do what I can with trying to come up with a balanced life. I got a 3-year-old. It's hard.
You know, I tell you, Doc. So when I see people that are chronic sitters, like you're saying, or chronically busy, like you are, then I give them what I call the 20-20-20 rule. Okay, so what does that mean? That means that every 20 minutes, you're going to take 20 seconds, and you're going to refocus your eyes 20 feet away. Right. So this engages your whole body system. Right. You stand up and look around. You get a little bit of movement going into it. You set a timer on your phone. Right. You don't have to. Once an hour, you can get up and take a stroll around your office. Right. Every 20 minutes, just turn your head a little bit and change the focus in your eyes.
I do. Right. I have a window right behind me. All I have to do is glance.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, all right. The 20-20-20 rule. Every 20 minutes, take 20 seconds, look 20 feet away.
Okay. What does that do? Why does that help?
So, first off, it takes you out of that zone of being kind of locked into the screen, right? So, everybody here that's listening can tell you that when they're zoned in at work, they're zoned in at work. Nothing else really matters. They're on that tunnel vision.
Yeah.
So, you're breaking that tunnel vision, which separates you from what's happening right now and allows you to be more cognizant of what's happening to you right now.
Yeah.
And that's the very big part of it for me.
Okay, so I have a name for this. I call it going unconscious. Now, I'm not actually going unconscious. I'm working, I'm thinking, I'm doing stuff on the computer, I'm typing. I'm very much conscious. But in terms of my relation to my body, dude, I'm not paying attention at all. I am absolutely unconscious. And it's just running, it's just coasting on its own. You know what? It doesn't do much. I'm not getting much health out of that, by the way.
Right.
So by thinking, getting up, moving, being really paying attention. One of the things that's nice about
listening,
the ball
listening.
Is if I don't pay attention on the ball, I fall off it.
Yeah, you have to engage a core for sure.
At least a little.
Right. Yeah, no, and that's the thing is that, you know, I mean, one of the big things that we preach at the center is that we separate ourselves based off of our observation skills and our ability to dig, right? But that ability to dig starts with the ability to listen, right? We have to listen to people to get them to be able to tell us what's happening so we can help them. The same way we have to listen to our own bodies. Otherwise, you ignore it, and 5 months later, you're sitting on somebody's table.
Yeah, no doubt, yep. no doubt. Okay, so, Sean, we have a problem here because I brought, 4 or 5 studies?
Yeah.
You brought about the
4
same.
4 or 5, yes, sir. So.
And we've been through 2 of them.
Yeah. Yep. So, you know what? I think you correct me if I'm wrong, boss, but I think we're getting close to break. So maybe over the break, we flip a coin for the
That's
last
right.
one. All right. All right.
That sounds good. All right. Let's take a break.
Don't you dare touch that dial. More Health Talk will be back in a moment.
Can you imagine some of the weird questions a doctor receives? Here are some examples that we've gotten. Is there a pill so I can have a girl? I want to find out about my son's yin and yang. I'm allergic to cats. I'm getting a cat. Can I get a vaccination for that? Unfortunately, we can't answer all of your questions, but we can sure answer most of them. So give us your best shot and submit your inquiries to acnm.marketing@gmail.com or send them to our Facebook page. The best questions get answered by Dr. Scott Looper right here on Health Talk Radio. We're looking forward to hearing from you.
Welcome back to the conversation here on Health Talk Radio, presented by the Alaska Center for Natural Medicine. Here's your host, Dr. Scott Looper.
Is that slack D tuning on that guitar?
I think it is.
It's slick either way. So.
Yeah. Welcome back to Health Talk. I'm here with Sean Whitmarsh, and we're talking about recent medical research. So I won the flip, and I'm going to go first on this thing. I got I got research that came out today, by the way.
Ooh.
Literally today, the day we're talking. And this is interesting research about our gut microbiome. Those are the collection of different bugs that live inside us, bacteria and other kinds of things, and how they all work together. And what's been known for a long time now is that that gut biome has a profound impact on our health. And the cardiologists are kind of taking the lead on this one and showing that when we have bad gut bacteria, certain chemicals, production of certain nasty chemicals increase, and they cause damage to the lining of our arteries. They cause atherosclerotic plaques to form more readily. They cause our immune system to tend to overreact and overbuild the repair blobs known as plaques that eventually can break off and create clots and get jammed up, which leads to heart attacks and strokes. So what they've really been looking at for a long time now is what kind of bacteria types are healthy. And what they decided was, this is funny, it doesn't really matter. It does matter in a way, but that is not the correct question. The correct question is, what group, assemblage is the word they use, what group of bacteria really result in the creation of beneficial metabolic substances?
Okay, hold on just a second, Doc. So first off, let me make sure I'm making this correlation. You're telling me that the problems that we're having and we're seeing in our society with heart issues currently are related to bacteria in our gut?
Yep.
Okay.
That's a fact.
All right, so
that one's already, this not that, that's not this research.
That's not this
That's
one.
Already that's, been
that
done,
That one's already
man.
Done, right? So, and now this one is saying that it doesn't matter, it's not so much what bacteria we have in the gut, but the entourage effect that they
yep.
create together?
That's exactly what it is. It's an entourage effect, and when the entourage effect is done well, the creation of beneficial substances like short-chain fatty acids, I'm reading all the research here, go up. And when you have the right entourage, the production of nasty chemicals like trimethylamine N-oxide, otherwise known affectionately as TMAO, go down. And people are healthier. And really what this amounts to is this, is that it's not that you put the right 14 bacteria in a little capsule and swallow them and you're good to go. It's the whole kit and caboodle. It's the bacteria. It's what you eat to feed them. It's what you avoid or what you do more of, and so on and so forth, whether you do fiber or not fiber. It turns out to be this ecosystem effect.
So I'm sitting here and I'm listening to you, Doc. And so correct me again. Correct me if I'm wrong, but is this not what we do every day?
I mean, we see people
all the time. It's like, hey, man, we got to balance the gut. Gut. Yeah.
When I do is shown to be effective by the cardiologist. When people come to me, I tell them, I say, your problem is a gardening issue. And they look at me like, huh? I said, you have a garden in your gut, and what we need to do is we need to weed it, we need to feed it, we need to cultivate it, we need to make sure that it grows. What we don't need to do is give you a broad-spectrum antibiotic. In other words, burn your garden
right.
to the ground with a blowtorch and start over again. Now, actually, sometimes that's what you do need to do. It's rare. That's a rare thing to do. Occasionally, that's what we do. But most of the vast majority of time, what we end up doing is nudging, and building people up, and then checking and see if it's working. You can check by symptoms. You can check by doing stool cultures and seeing what's growing up inside of people, mm-hmm. what kind of inflammatory markers are there or not there, whether people have, you know, allergic problems or not, whatever. There's a bunch of things you have to kind of look at, just like regular gardeners, too. You got to look at the soil. You got to look at the plants. You got to look at the water. You got to look at the temperature. You look at the pH. There's a zillion things mm-hmm. that you could take into account as a farmer. You farmers listening know exactly what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. Occasionally, you got to get some calcium and throw it into the soil mm-hmm. or whatever, right? Something to build it up so that you get that harmonious ecosystem exactly. effect going on, right? That way it prevents the bugs from coming in. You get bugs coming in, you got to have ladybugs and other bugs. And the way the plants all work together as a harmonious whole, you can nudge it. Seriously, mm-hmm. you can nudge it. With enough time and attention, you can rebuild this garden that you have inside you. And trust me, it's worth it. You feel better, your energy's better, things move in the right direction, and less heart disease. I mean, that's really the reason why they're doing this research. Less heart disease. All right, I've spoke fast because I want to give you a little time
No worries.
Do your last one here.
Yeah, so the last one I want to talk about today, boss, is effective treatment options with mild skeletal pain, right? So in general, kind of what is it, when we go to our primary doctors, what is it that I can expect to kind of get for my chronic pain issues, right? So this research is actually out of the National Institute of Health. It's in the U.S. Congress, the U.S. Library of Congress, and it shows that over the course of 18 months, they studied 385 people. And what they found was that essentially that anything that has gone on for more than 6 months, the prognosis is extremely, extremely low.
Yeah.
But the thing about going and talking to primary care doctors is that primary care doctors aren't necessarily specialized in treating myoskeletal pain. So a lot of the people that they found out of this pain clinic were being treated by a general practitioner, a primary physician, and or a gynecologist, right, or an OBGYN. Trying to figure out all these pain disorders, and mm-hmm. a majority of it was used through pharmaceuticals. Mm-hmm. So, of the 385 people, they found that 133 of them did only the pharmacological repair, if you will, and the remainder used both a manual therapies like chiropractic, physical therapy, exercises like yoga, going and getting acupuncture, things like that done. Plus, they used what they call homeopathic remedies, which is a locally applied tincture or salve or something like that to kind of mitigate it. And in actuality, what they discovered is that the people that are getting the cortisone shots, the people that are taking the pain pills, the people that are taking the nerve blockers, all come back to using the salves and the exercise and everything like that.
Why is that?
Because that's what works, right?
It works, right.
I mean, it's a matter of everybody's trying to get this magic pill to get it to go away fast, but, I mean, that's not the way it works. You got to put in the effort.
So I've had lots and lots of patients go in and get opiates, narcotics, those kind of things. And a way of knocking the pain down. And they do. But in the long run, the pain comes back.
Exactly.
And then
you might get a couple of years out of it.
It's getting, right? I know, a couple of years out of it. And it's getting harder and harder to get them. I had a patient recently who said, Doc, I cannot quit these because I'm dependent on them.
Yes, sir.
I'm addicted. Well, he turns out he did quit because no one would write a script anymore.
Him. Right.
And then it was all, he was out of his system and he came back to see me. And I said, well, how's your pain? About the same. So now you're off at opiates and exactly the same
everything
as it was when you're on opiates.
Supposed to be kicking off.
Yep. Let's try something else.
Yeah, exactly. It's funny, but I mean, it all comes back to you got to move. You know, so I mean, you have to have somebody that can teach you the proper way to move, and you have to be able to implement that on a daily routine. Back to that 300 minutes, boss.
Yeah,
but it's pretty interesting research.
Yeah, interesting. Okay, now by the way. I got to give credit where credit's due. When I talked about my research, I didn't say where it came from. Let me tell you, the lead author on this research is Wilson Tang from the Cleveland Clinic in Ohio, and it was published in the Journal of the American College of Cardiology. And I'll give credit to these guys at the Cleveland Clinic in Ohio. They're a crack team.
They seem like it.
They really are. The Cleveland Clinic is really an excellent clinic. They do good work there. You know, Mayo's got the reputation, and they're good too. I'm not going to say they're not. They are. But the Cleveland Clinic is really excellent. And again, they get credit for putting this interesting research together. So I want to finish by thanking you, Sean, for being on the
show.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for the good work you do here in Fairbanks. I want to let you guys know that this is wait. This has been Health Talk, and I'm your host, Dr. Scott Looper, Medical Director of the Alaska Center for Natural Medicine, where we find the why to your illness. We treat the cause, and we help you to live the cure. Come see us.
Thank you very much for listening to Health Talk Radio. This show is sponsored by the Alaska Center for Natural Medicine, who you can call at 907-452-3600. To catch up with our previous episodes, log on to www.alaskacenterfornaturalmedicine.com. Our motto is clear: find the why, treat the cause, live the cure.
Acabou chorar.